Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. It was a turbulent time in Judah following King Josiah's death. As Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon each struggled for supremacy, and the next three kings of Judah tried to figure out who would be the eventual winner. It did not help that Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, and Jehoiachin were deeply involved with the Kabbalah. Idolatry only brings the wrath of God, but they weren't smart enough to figure that out. These three men did not give much thought about life after death and what eternity would mean for them. They simply lived for the here and now, and this resulted in the first exodus to Babylon. Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, and Jehoiachin wasted their lives, died as idolaters, and went straight to hell. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life with Jesus Church. And I'm going to today be speaking about the kings of Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, and Jehoiachin. Actually, I'm sorry, my eyes are a little water. Jehoiachin. So before we get into the message, I'd like to pray. Would you stand with me and do something in the chapel? And we're going to pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now that you give me this opportunity to share again from the Word of God. And Lord, as we are in a very precarious time right now, let us learn something from these events. Let us learn, Father God, what is going to happen in the future, what has happened, so that, Father God, we can be walking with you, be guided by the Holy Spirit all the time. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, after the death of Josiah, the last king we talked about last week, the God had passed the virtual time run to assess the situation. They realized that the teaching of the Kabbalah was deeply rooted in Judah. A few good kings had tried to destroy it and return people of Judah back to God, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But Lucifer had taken over the educational system in Judah and indoctrinated children in this hell gospel. It's a parallel with us today. The educational system in the United States, from universities, colleges, and down, has been taken over where people are indoctrinated in a hell gospel. The God had looked at the prophet Jeremiah, and even when he was one of the most strongest prophets that God ever had, they were not sure that Jeremiah could hold them back from getting into idolatry. As they examined the different nations around Judah, Egypt was steeped into idolatry. To the north was a waning Assyrian empire that the prophet Jonah had been sent with the message of repentance. To the east was a budding Babylonian empire, flexing muscles against Assyria and Egypt. The God had knew, and the God had decided they would use Babylon to chastise Judah and be the instrument of destruction for Assyria and Egypt. Their plan for the 12 tribes operating as a kingdom was not working out because humanity was exercising their free will to choose the sinful nature. The Israelites did not take God's warning seriously about losing their promised land. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we're going to go to verse number 58. And this is what God spoke through Moses to the people of Israel, the 12 tribes. If you will not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will make your plagues wonderful and the plagues of your seed, even great plagues, and their long continuance, sore sicknesses and long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid of. They shall cleave unto you. Also every sickness, every plague which are written in this book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon you until you be destroyed. And you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And it shall come to pass that the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you. So the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring to naught, and you shall be plucked from off the land where you go to possess it. I just want to put a picture in here for you, which is simply this. 35 days ago in Ukraine, we had beautiful cities. It's about 45 million people living in Ukraine, and they had nice apartment buildings. They had nice single-family homes. They have hospitals, schools, everything was there. Today, millions and millions of homes are destroyed. The furniture is destroyed. Their clothing is destroyed. Their cars are destroyed. If you look at one of the buildings, they are bombed out. We have churches in Ukraine. People have been preaching. There have been preachers and saying, they warn people, please repent. And most people did not repent. And today, they have nothing. It's going to I don't think it's ever going to be rebuilt, because I think it's going to be a World War III war. But I want you to think about this. Right now, we have our homes here. We have nice places where we live. They can be gone in 2 minutes. In 2 minutes, we can lose everything that we have. And yet, when we see the handwriting on the wall, we don't want to repent. And then God said this in verse number 64. And the Lord shall scatter you among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there you shall serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers had known, even wood and stone. At the time of Jesus, we had the Samaritans. The Samaritans were the remnant of the 9 northern tribes. And you remember, Assyrian took them out, replaced with other people, and the 9 northern tribes never came back. There was a few people left of the 9 northern tribes that were mixed in, and they became known as Samaritans. At the time of Jesus, we had close to maybe about 1 million Samaritans. Do you know how many Samaritans are left today in the world? Less than 10,000. There's one city in the West Bank that the Samaritans have. It's about 10,000 people or less. They were wiped out. And the Lord shall scatter you among all people from one end of the earth, even to the other. There you shall serve other gods, which neither you nor your father have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shall you find no ease, neither shall the sole of your foot have rest. But the Lord shall give you there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. And your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of life. In the morning you shall say, "Would God it were even." At even you shall say, "Would God it were morning." For the fear of your heart will you shall fear, and for the sight of your eyes which you shall see. And the Lord shall bring you into Egypt again with ships, by the way wherever I spake unto you. You shall see it no more again, and there you shall be sold unto your enemies, for bondmen and bondwoman, and no man shall buy you. Listen closely now. For 2,600 years, the 12 tribes of Israel have been scattered in the world. They are now known as Jews because they're the most for the tribe of Judah that survived. And if you look at history, Jews have always been hated all through the centuries. They never found a place. They always were persecuted. Anti-Semitism is real. Why is there such a hate for Jewish people? The day when Jesus was going to be crucified, the Bible says he came to his own, and his own received him not. The day Jesus stood before Pilate, and Pilate said, "I see no fault in this man, I want to release him." And the Pharisees, the high priest, the Sadducees, the scribes, they simply said with one voice, "Crucify him. Let his blood be upon us and our children." They cursed themselves. Most of us have not understood how strong curses are. And from that day on, the blood of Jesus Christ has been over them. And they have been persecuted. The only relief they have is when they come to Christ. And there are thousands of Jewish people that have come to Christ over the years. And they have peace. But those that reject him, this word I just read to you from Deuteronomy, still stands and will stand until Jesus returns. Let's turn on to 2 Kings 23. 2 Kings 23. And we're looking now upon Judah in the last few years of survival. And I feel that this is where the United States is today. This is where Western Europe is today. We have lived in luxury, tremendous luxury for all these years. And we have sinned greatly. The California legislators are now preparing a new law. And it's simply saying this, that when it comes to abortion, it's going to be unlimited. You can actually kill the baby up to the time it's ready to be born. Besides that, if a child is born and the parents don't like it, or they want to simply don't want to have it, the doctor is allowed to murder the newborn baby in the hospital. That's the newest legislation that the Democrats are working up in the legislators. Now, do you think that God is going to say, "Well, okay, I guess that's going to do"? It's going to add to our judgment. There's going to be a judgment. And it's going to be a rough one. In 2 Kings 23, verse number 31, we read this. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamathal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. and according to all that his fathers had done. Now, his dad had been walking with God, had served God. And Jehoiakim simply decided, Jehoahaz decided that I am going to worship Lucifer. I'm going to do the Kabbalistic way. So God simply said this, you are not going to stay here very long. And Pharaoh, Necho, put him in bands in Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem. And he put the land to a tribute of 100 talents of silver and talent of gold. Well, the king of Egypt came up. He simply arrested Jehoiakim and, or Jehoahaz, took him down to Egypt, and there he died. So Judah and I had to come up with $38.4 million. Eliakim, the brother of Jehoahaz, was installed the vassal king over Judah. He changed his name to Jehoiakim, which in Hebrew means avenging. 2 Kings 23:34. 2 Kings chapter 23. And Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the room of Josiah, his father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim, and took Jehoahaz away and came to Egypt and died there. And Jehoiakim gave the silver and the gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to give the money according to the commandment of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and the gold of the people of the land, and everyone according to his taxation to give it to the Pharaoh Necho. So, Jehoiakim now was king. He didn't care, you know, he took the money from the people and gave to the king in Egypt. He did not lack anything. But now we got the prophet Jeremiah. And keep your fingers here and turn to Jeremiah chapter 26. Jeremiah, the 26th chapter. And we're going to start in verse number 1 through 7. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came the word from the Lord saying, this is the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship the Lord's house, all the words that I command you to speak unto them. Diminish not the word. If so be, they will hearken, and turn every man from his evil way, that they might repent of the evil, which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. And just say unto them, thus says the Lord, if you will not hearken to me, to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not hearkened, then will I make this house like Shiloh. I will make this city as a curse to all the nations on the earth. So the priests and the prophets of all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Jeremiah was simply bold. You and I need to be bold. I stepped out to the limb today when I shared the message before I just preached here about the coming World War III. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think I'm wrong. So, what God wants you and me to do is simply this. He wants us to be bold. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he's the only way that you can come to heaven through him, then we need to be bold and we need to tell people this. If you meet a Muslim or a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness or an unbeliever, you need to tell them this when you get the opportunity that Here is your situation. When you die, you're going to go to hell. People are going to say, don't tell me that stuff. Don't give me that stuff. Well, that's too bad. You give them the stuff. Because someday, they will find out the truth. In verse number 8 and 9 now, the leadership of the church didn't like that. Now it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking, all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, you shall surely die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, this city shall be desolate without even inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Now, the establishment, the established churches do not like to hear about prophecy. They don't like to hear about repentance. We had a great prophet by the name of David Wilkerson. And David Wilkerson was an Assembly of God minister. He started Teen Challenge in New York. And back in the early 70s, he was a darling. He was a darling of the Assembly of God churches. He had invitations all over the country. And he would go, and he would go to these churches because he would raise money for Teen Challenge. He would have Teen Challenge starting in different cities. So everyone loved David Wilkerson. The pastors couldn't talk enough well about him. The denomination said, man, this is the golden calf. He's bringing a lot of money and people if we love him. And then one day, he got some prophetic words from the Lord. He wrote a book called Set Your Trumpet to Your Mouth. And he also had another book called The Vision. And now when he started in churches, he began to simply preach repentance, and he preached about the visions. And guess what happened? The denominational leader simply said, we can't have this. He's emptying the churches out. They're not going to give us money. And David Wilkerson, from being a beloved preacher of the Assemblies of God, became a hated person that no one wanted to have. That's the establishment. Now, we read in the next verse here. When the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house into the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Now, Jeremiah had the attention of the political leaders, the princes, representatives, senators, governors. They said, what's this guy talking about? Then spake the priest and the prophet to the princes and to all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die, for he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears. A prophet that speaks in the name of the Lord is always worthy of death. I was labeled an anti-Semitic person many years ago. There's no proof. I don't hate Jews. Never said I did. I got Jewish friends. But, you know, put a label on, sticks. Don't ask any questions. Now, Jeremiah was not scared. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes, to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that you have heard. He didn't say, oh, please don't kill me. I changed my message. You know, what do you want me to change? He said, the Lord told me to come down here and give you the word. Therefore, not amend your ways and your doings. Obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of evil that he has pronounced against you. God is saying the same thing to us today. If we repent as a nation, there still is hope. But today, this Sunday, how many preachers from the East Coast to the West Coast, from the Canadian border down to Mexico, are going to be in their pulpits and saying to people, we need to repent. We need to fast. We need to seek the Lord. We got to come against this woke stuff, this abortion, transgenders, homosexuality, all the garbage that's out there. The church needs to come up and say it is a sin. It's an abomination. It is unacceptable. But you will not hear that because people are afraid. You speak up against homosexuality, man, they take you to court. That didn't happen in Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, they tried to take them in court there too. But God simply said, enough is enough. And he rained brimstone and fire. Today, God can make use of atomic bombs, nuclear bombs, hydrogen bombs. And when those begin to fall, the homosexuals, transgenders, and the evildoers are going to cry. And they're going to say, God, save us. And then it's too late. They're heading for hell and for eternal punishment. Therefore, now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil he's pronounced against you. What should you and I do? Well, we need to repent. We need to repent because, you know what? We complain a lot. And sometimes we lie, but we shouldn't lie, but we do anyway. And then you have problems in the marriages. People are fighting, husband and wife fighting. Children fighting their parents, fighting over inheritances. There's always something going on. We need to repent. Let me ask you this. If World War III breaks out next week, and we are nuked here, what does it matter about your car? What does it matter about your new furniture? What does it matter about your new shoes and your new stuff that you have? It would have no value. Can we have nice stuff? Yes. But we don't gloat in new stuff. We simply say, God bless me. I have this car. I got this furniture here. I got this and that. I'm blessed. But we don't live for that. That's the bonus that God gives us. But we don't dwell on that. And then you said this in verse 14. As for me, behold, I'm in your hand. Do with me as seems good and meet unto you. He was standing there. He was shackled. He was bound. They already bound him. He was standing there bound and simply still giving it to them. And he said, okay, now, big deal. Do whatever you want to do to me. I gave you the message. But know you for certain that if you put me to death, you shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourself and upon the city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For for truth the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears. Then said the princes, the politicians, and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, this man is not worthy to die. We have spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. There would have been a prophet. You always have politicians that are going to try to do things. And see, verse number 17, we read this. Then rose up certain of the elders of the land and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah, the Moreathite, prophet in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, spake to all the people of Judah, saying, Thus is the Lord of hosts. Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem become heaps on the mount of the house of high place of forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him into all of death? Did they not fear the Lord and besought the Lord, and the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them? Thus might we procure great evil against their souls. God had another prophet. So in other words, these people realized, if you take the messenger and kill him, you got to deal with the guy that sent him. It's as bad as you're driving down the highway and your check engine light comes on. And you says, oh, look at that, light come on. Well, let me take this little screwdriver I got here and I'll fix that. And you simply crush that light and says, oh, that fixed it, the light is out. That didn't fix the problem. That's what we do. Instead of looking at the problems, we try to destroy the light or the warning. In verse number 20, there was also a man that prophesied the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shebaiah, of Kiriath Yearim, who prophesied against this city, against this land, according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim, the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes, heard the words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Uriah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. And Jehoiakim, the king, sent men into Egypt. He sent down a goon squad. Sent down a CIA, or the KGB, or the FSB, or the Mossad. And simply said, bring that guy back. And they fetched forth Uriah out of Egypt, brought him into Jehoiakim, the king, who slew him with a sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Jehoiakim, I think it says here, himself took a sword and said, okay, prophet, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take out the engine light. I'm going to kill you. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah. They should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. So Jeremiah escaped this time. And he was able to continue. We're going to look at Jeremiah in the future messages, because eventually Jeremiah was killed and he died a horrible death. Let's go back to 2 Kings now. 2 Kings, and we're going to end up in chapter 24, verse number 1. 2 Kings 24:1. In his day, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. Now, Egypt was gone. Babylon had defeated it. Nebuchadnezzar came up. Jehoiakim now, after 8 years of being a vassal king for Egypt, he now became a vassal king for the Babylonians. On the bottom of page number 2, it says that Jehoiakim rebelled against Babylon after 3 years of being King Nebuchadnezzar's vassal. This did not set well with the Lord, and sent bands of Chaldees, Syrians, and Moabites to cause great destruction against Judah. If you read here from verses number 2 and 6 of this chapter, and the Lord sent against him bands of Chaldees, bands of the Syrians, bands of the Moabites, bands of the children of Ammon, sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant the prophets. Did Jehoiakim's chin change? No. He didn't change. Even if it was destruction. Surely the command of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh according to all that he did. And also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood which the Lord would not pardon. Notice in verse number 4, there are sins God will not pardon. We need to understand this. God is not Santa Claus. God is not an ATM machine. You cross God, and he will not forgive. There will be judgment. Now, the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did are not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah. So Jehoiakim slept with his father, and Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, King Jehoiachin, 18 years old, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Think about this. This guy, 18 years old, he should have simply said, my dad had all kind of problems. I don't want to have these problems. I want to repent. But he did not repent. And he did that, which was even the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done. At that time, the servant of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servant besieged it. And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother, his servants, and his princes. His officers and king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. And he carried out thence all the treasure of the house of the Lord, the treasure of the king's house, cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. And he carried away all Jerusalem, all the princes, all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, all the craftsmen and smiths. None remains of the poorest sort of people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiachin to Babylon, and the king's mother and the king's wives, his officers and the mighty men of the land, those carried him to captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And all the men of might, even 7,000 craftsmen and smiths 1,000, all that were strong and apt for war, even them the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. This was the first exodus. Among these people was Daniel and the 3 men that was with him. We also had a prophet Ezekiel. So I want you to see something there. I'm just going to hit them very quickly. They were carried away captive. Eventually, Jerusalem was destroyed. God selected Daniel, his 3 friends, and the prophet Ezekiel. They were taken to Babylon in the captivity. They never came back to Jerusalem. But you see, life on earth should be looked this way. Serving God wherever he wants me. Now Daniel and his 3 friends got to Babylon. They got castrated because they didn't want them to be married. And these 4 men could have simply said, you know, we can never be married, never have children. We're taken captive, you know. Let's just commit suicide. But I simply said, we're going to serve God regardless of circumstances. And they became mighty men of God. And Daniel, a prophet, not only for that time, but for us today. Look at the sum over here. I wanted to turn to Jeremiah 17:9. Jeremiah 17:9. Just one little verse. The heart, that's the soul, is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our souls are wicked. We need to subject them to the Spirit of God, to our spirit when we are born again also. So we got to understand that. The kings of Judah did not give much thought about life after death. Look in Mark chapter 8, the Gospel of Mark, the 8th chapter. Let me pick it up here. Mark 8 and verse 34 and 37. And when he, Jesus, had called the people to him with his disciples, also he said to them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall be saved. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I preached a little sermon before. I preached this one here today about World War III. And so you might ask, what are you going to do next week? I'm going to work like I have 100 years to go. I am not going to go down in despair. I'm going to work as hard as I can until Jesus either takes me home or something happens. That's the attitude we should have. We are vigilant. We understand we might be snuffed out. But in the meantime, work, pray, seek the Lord. Don't stop. Don't go on mountaintop and say, well, I'm going to sit here like the prophet Jonah did. He was watching for 3 days to see if the prophecy would come through or not. So remember this now. Let's not save our lives. Let's give our lives for Jesus. And let's work until he takes us home or the end for us. We're going to go to Galatians 5. It's a closing scripture here today. That's Galatians chapter 5. You know, I learned this, that Christians have a very thin veneer. Galatians 5:13. There's a lot of praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, Jesus, I love you. But when there is a conflict, either on a job situation, in a marriage situation, you know what? All the holiness is gone. All comes out are the F words and the B words and all the other words come out, you know, and people are calling upon Satan. Satan, come on over you. Come, blah, 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 blah. Our Christianity is not very deep. It's not even skin deep. And this is something that you really need to think about. If you can't handle a small situation, you blow up and your emotions run with you and you run with the devil. You're not a strong Christian. You need to repent. God's not going to be able to use you. Let's read the scriptures here quickly. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. only use not liberty of location of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the flesh, the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against his flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. So we should walk in the Spirit. Let me give you this example. We're going to do some repair work here on the property. And we had to purchase some equipment. So we ordered the equipment in. And so the equipment arrived. It took a long time. Came from Canada. Took a long time. So we have a contractor. So we had a contractor come, and contractor took out the old equipment, put the new equipment in, and it didn't work properly. It was faulty. So we called the company. We said, well, you know, this is not working out, and things are not good. And they says, well, have you tried this or that? You know, said, we've tried it. I mean, this is a professional guy. He's a licensed contractor. He's a licensed electrician. And so he's done what he should do. So they said, okay, we send you another unit. Now, notice now, the contractor cost me $85 an hour. So we got a new unit, and contractor opened up the box. He said, this is a used unit. This has been installed before. He put it in anyway, and it didn't work. Now, so I called up the company and simply said, hey, we're missing parts. There was missing parts of this unit. They said, well, call tech support. I said, what in the world is tech support going to do when we've got no parts? In the meantime, I'm paying $85 an hour for this guy to stand here and talk to the techs. Well, it didn't go too well. So finally, it was agreed upon. They said, okay, we will refund you the money, because they said this, we need pictures. We took pictures. We took everything. I mean, we got to send pictures, descriptions, and we were right. So it finally ended up with, we sent it back, and we simply said, thank you. We don't want your stuff. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is, this has been 4 weeks of irritation. I'm out $850 for work that the contractor did for nothing. Now, did I cuss? No. Did I get upset? No. Did I get angry? No. Did I get irritated? Yeah, I got irritated. But I simply said, whatever. I cannot change it. If that God wants me to spend the money that way, so I spend it that way. There are certain things you got to learn. If it doesn't go your way, don't start calling on the devil. And you know what I did? After the guy refunded me, I wrote to them and said, I'm a Pentecostal minister. And I said, I'm not going to write a bad review on your website. It was not you, the salespeople's fault. It was for the factory. I said, as a Christian, I'm not going to badmouth you. And I got a little note back and say, God bless you. Now, I'm going to meet these guys. I told them, I'm going to meet you guys in eternity. So you might as well, you know, not have any beef here. So when things do not go your way, don't get emotional. Don't scream. Don't say, Lucifer, come here. I want to have you to work with me. That's a time when your simply says, okay. So it didn't work out. Praise the Lord. It will work out somehow. God can always give me some more money. But if you can learn to keep your cool and simply said, I am not going to lose my joy because of this. I'm going to keep praising God and praise Him and praise Him some more. Let me read the last two verses. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, out of which I tell you before, as you also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So to sum this message up, we had these three kings. They were into adultery, not idolatry, wouldn't change. And they died, they went to hell, and they're sitting in hell today, waiting to get resurrected, judged at the judgments, at the great white throne judgment, and then to spend eternity in the lake of fire. What a future! These kings, three of them, they lived good for a short while, plenty of money, plenty of food, plenty of this or that, and now they have nothing. So what I want to say to you is this. Where are you at today? Are you saved? Are you born again? If you would die today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? And if you want to be saved, you can do it today by simply saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross. He rose on the third day. He paid for my sins. And Father God, forgive me. And Jesus, come in and save me. I want to be saved. When we finish here, after the last prayer, the screen will change on your television set or your computer. Three crosses will come up. And you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles saying, my friend. And he will take you through salvation. And you can be saved today. Take that opportunity and be saved today. Make sure that you're going to heaven. And to those of you that are watching that are Christians, like I said every Sunday, some of you are up here, you're doing super great. Some of you are down here struggling. Then I got a bunch of people between. Why not today take this afternoon, instead of watching television, ball games, whatever it is, simply say, I'm going to get my Bible. I'm going to get a bottle of water. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to read the Word. I'm going to sit there and say, God, show me my heart. Show me what I need to repent. If you do that, you do yourself a favor and a favor for the kingdom of God. May God bless you as you do that today. Here is Thomas.
Father God, thank you for this day, for the Word, Lord. We know that it's going to go down, our future is going to go down exactly as what was prophesied in the Word. And we thank you for that, and we thank you that we're not in the dark concerning that. And we recognize through the study of the Word that we have kings, princes, politicians, religious leaders, all doing what they do. And we see it in our own day and time. But Psalms chapter 2 pretty much says it all. He says, the Lord sits in the heavens and laughs. He has them in derision. So I thank you for that word. I thank you for the peace in my own soul personally. And I am blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus.
This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 64th part in the series, The Origin Story of Jesus, and was entitled, The Kings of Judah. Jehoahaz witnessed his father systematically root out idolatry, but he embraced the Kabbalah the moment he became king. Pharaoh Necho overthrew him 3 months later and appointed his brother as a vassal king. Jehoiakim also embraced the Kabbalah, and several prophets condemned his actions. 8 years later, King Nebuchadnezzar knocked on his door and told Jehoiakim to become his vassal or die. Jehoiakim continued to worship Lucifer and sin to the maximum extent. As a result, God brought in various groups to attack Judah, and this kept Jehoiakim occupied until he died. Jehoiachin was next on the throne, but his rule only lasted 3 months. He was a Kabbalist as well and failed to understand that serving Lucifer would only bring the wrath of God. These three kings of Judah simply lived for the here and now, and this resulted in the first exodus as Jehoiachin and 18,000 Judeans were force-marched to Babylon. It would not be the last such occasion. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1853. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.